Ibrahim al-Rashid raised his sunglasses. He peered through the dirty window of the 1963 Ford Galaxy. The young Syrian kept his eyes open and enjoyed the jolt of sunlight as it bounced off the golden desert. He enjoyed the pain just as he enjoyed the heat on his face, the hot air in his lungs, the warm perspiration on his back. He enjoyed the discomfort as the prophets must have enjoyed it, the men who came to the desert to be hammered on the anvil of God, made ready for his great purpose. Anyway, he thought, enjoyed or not, most of Syria is a furnace in the summer. The car's struggling fan did little to relieve the heat, and the presence of three other men raised it even higher. Ibrahim's elder brother Mahmoud was beside him in the driver's seat. Though Mahmoud was sweating heavily, he was uncharacteristically calm, even when the newer, faster Peugeots and Fiats passed them on the divided highway. Mahmoud didn't want to get into a fight, not now. But when it was time to fight, there was no one bolder. Even when they were children, Mahmoud had always been ready to take on larger boys in greater numbers. Behind them, in the back seat, Yusuf and Ali played cards for a piastre a hand. Each loss was accompanied by a mild oath. Neither man suffered defeat graciously, which was why they were here. The restored 8-cylinder engine moved them smoothly along the modern Route 7. The Galaxy was 10 years older than Ibrahim, and had been rebuilt many times, most recently by himself. But the trunk was spacious enough to hold what they needed, the chassis was solid, and the car was strong. Like this nation of Arabs, Kurds, Armenians, Circassians, and many others, the Galaxy had been cobbled together from many parts, some old and some new. But still it moved forward. Ibrahim looked out at the blanched landscape. It wasn't like the desert in the south, all sand and dust clouds, shimmering mirages and graceful twisters, the black tents of Bedouins and occasional oases. It was an endless stretch of dried and broken dirt, of barren hills and hundreds of tells, mounds of ruins that marked the cities of ancient settlements. There were a few modern additions to the landscape, such as abandoned vehicles and petrol stations, as well as sheds where people sold stale food and hot drink. The Syrian desert had always been a lure for adventurers and poets, caravans and archaeologists, who embraced and then romanticized its dangers. But this region located between the great Tigris and Euphrates had once been alive. Not like it was now. Not like it was before the Turks began to strangle the water supply. Ibrahim thought back to this morning, to words his father had said to them all before they set out.
Water is life. Control one, and you control the other.
Ibrahim knew the history and geography of the region and its water. He had put in 2 tours of duty in the Air Force. Since his discharge, he'd listened to the old hands talk about drought and famine as he repaired tractors and other machinery on a large farm. Formerly known as Mesopotamia, Greek for the land between the rivers, the Syrian land was now called Al-Jazeera, the island, an island without water. The Tigris River was once one of the most important transportation routes in the world. It originates in eastern Turkey and flows nearly 1,150 miles southeast through Iraq, where it meets the Euphrates at Basra. The equally mighty Euphrates is formed by the confluence of the Kara and Murat rivers in eastern Turkey. It flows mostly southward, and then southeast for almost 1,700 miles, surging through great canyons and jagged gorges along its upper course, and a vast floodplain in Syria and Iraq. Where they meet, the Tigris and the Euphrates form the river channel Shatt al-Arab, which flows southeast into the Persian Gulf and is part of the border between Iraq and Iran. The two countries have long fought over navigation rights to the 120-mile waterway. The Tigris and Euphrates in the east and the great Nile River in the west once defined the Fertile Crescent, the cradle of a number of early civilizations stretching back as far as 5000 B.C., the cradle of civilization, Ibrahim thought. His homeland. 1/3 of his great nation, now lifeless and rotting.